Many centuries ago, the children of Israel camped near Mount Sinai while Moses went up on the mountain and heard God calling to him. Find this story in Exodus, the 19th chapter. And one of the things that God said to Moses was this. He said, "If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." Now we know that God chose the nation of Israel to be the people through whom Jesus Christ would be born. We know that through Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. But that reason is not his sole purpose. He has other purposes for the children of Israel. God's desire for the world was to seek him, bring him pleasure by obeying him so in return he could bless them. Israel was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, displaying to the world the difference in worshiping the one and only God as opposed to living in depravity and worshiping powerless idols made by their own very hands. Well, for the most part, I think most of us would agree Israel failed in their role as being holy. However, God's ultimate purpose for Israel, that of bringing the Messiah into the world, was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, who came by way of the Virgin Mary as a descendant from Abraham. Now, the Apostle Peter, in chapter 2, says this. Christ tells us this. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, as a Christian, we have many responsibilities to be an exemplary person that displays to the world what Christ looks like. The intent of my exhortation today is to focus on being a good Christian example in the arena of work. And I have not near enough time to cover this subject, but we're just going to touch on some high points that we need to think about. You know, the average person will spend one-third of their lifetime working. And you can just think that through, and I think you can see that. You'll spend one-third of your lifetime working. The Bible, especially in Proverbs, says quite a bit about this responsibility of life. Other scriptures, but there's a lot in Proverbs. Today, our focus will be centered on three aspects of work: keeping work in its proper place, being a successful laborer, and being a successful manager. Now, in the Beatitudes, Jesus said this in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 14 through 16. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but he says, "You are the light of the world." He says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we got a job to do, don't we? In several of the Apostle Paul's epistles, he encourages his readers. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Okay, and I'm not going to read that whole verse, but that's the main point I want to get out of that. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Philippians 3:17, "Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Titus 2:7, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity." Colossians 3:22 and 24, "Bondservants, obey in all things your master obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. These and other numerous scriptures put a premium on doing a good job of work, don't they? There's a lot to be said in the Bible about work. Let's look at aspect number one that I mentioned, keeping work in its proper place. In other words, how important is work? Well, let's remember what should take priority. You know, we have several young people in our group right now that is graduating out of high school. They're leaving their teenage years and they're going on into adulthood. And as we do that, it is a fact of life that we must work to live and provide for ourselves and our families. That's something that you all have to do. If we are able-bodied but are not willing to work, the church is under no obligation to help you. We find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brothers who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the traditions that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we are not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you." Of course, we all know that in addition to being the apostle, Paul was a tent maker. In almost every place he went, he physically worked to take care of the physical needs that he had. Even though the church could have very well and really was to support him, but he didn't want that. He didn't want anybody thinking that he was doing this to get paid, because he was doing it because the Lord asked him to do it. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Then, if we don't provide for our household or relatives, 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says, we are worse than unbelievers. So we have an obligation to work, don't we? Now let's look at the flip side of this. You know, we know people that we call workaholics. Okay? What about that person who becomes a workaholic pursuing the almighty dollar? Well, misplaced priorities can be very detrimental if not kept in the proper place. We just know that there's lots of aspects to being a Christian. And it's not just working and using that as an excuse to not take care of other needs, kind of like the Pharisees did. They didn't take care of their parents because they had some excuse. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Now, in keeping work in its proper place, we should involve God in our business affairs. And why should we do that? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 18:10-11, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is in his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. You know, what's real and what is imagined are two different things, aren't they? But it says that God is like a high tower for us that gives us protection, makes us safe. Consider how God blessed faithful people of the Bible. And you could just, like, have a giant Rolodex, I guess. Abraham, Job, Ruth, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, Rahab, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and the children of Israel. And we could go on, but we've seen lots of people that God blessed because of their faithfulness. Now, while you're at it, reflect on how some of these faithful were not so blessed when they failed to include God in their affairs. So just because you did it once doesn't mean that you're going to be blessed the rest of your life. It means you have to continue. You have to continue to include God in your affairs. Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessed of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20, he says, here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. So while we include God, in your business, we need to remember that business has a major shortcoming for all of us. We never know what might happen tomorrow, will we? Sometimes we can sit there and we think, well, let's see, if I continue to do this and put away this and do this and this and this, I could be a wealthy man and ready to retire by the time I'm 53. Well, Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Proverbs 23:4-5, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease, it says. Exclamation mark. Cease. Don't even do that. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. And then, a really good verse, James 4:13-15, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. All right, let's go to aspect number two about work, being a successful laborer. How can you be a successful laborer? Well, let's consider what not to do. I'll start off with the negative, what not to do. Don't be lazy, for that will be very irritating to fellow workers and your boss. You've all worked with somebody or a group of men or women, and there was somebody in the group that wasn't carrying their share of the load. They were just being lazy. Because, after all, you'll cover for me because you're a good person. Well, don't do that. Proverbs 10:26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Proverbs 18:9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So don't take advantage of other people's goodness and be lazy. You be sure that you're productive. And do not slough off while your boss is out of sight. Whoa. How many people have you seen do that? When I first graduated out of high school, I worked for a company that made gunpowder for the Western Shotgun Shell. And I was in the labor gang. And we literally had people betting who would have the least sweat on their suit that they wore at the end of the day. Okay. And then they were, I remember my brother Bill, one day they were unloading a railroad car of fiber packs. And the intentions of the men, some of the men, were, hey, let's make this last the rest of the day. Then one of the white hats come along, and guess what? The job got done in about 15 minutes. So that's what I'm talking about. People that slough off when the boss is not around. Colossians 3, 22 through 24, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So now let's look at what you should do. Impress people with the quality of your work and not with the abundance of your words. You've heard of people that they can brag a lot and talk a lot about what they can do. In the end, you just need to show them what you got. Don't tell them what you got. Show them what you got. Proverbs 14:23, in all the toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Develop skills in your work and avoid mediocrity. Proverbs 22 and 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. If you want to get promoted, be diligent at what you do. Proverbs 12 and 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. I want to give you another little short story about a young man I had as a student in school. After he graduated out of high school, he found a job working at a place called Auto Magic. This is the place where they, you know, where they have kind of like an assembly line. He goes through the car wash, and somebody wipes the windows down, and somebody wipes the hood. And anyway, you got the idea. Every person had a specific job to do. But during his first week of work, the manager asked the crew to clean up the work area during a lull in the work. As instructed, this young man began picking up cigarette butts and any other foreign material he could find, but he noticed most of the crew were just kind of halfway, just kind of walking around, you know, like pretending, you know, I don't see anything, and not willing to bend over and do what they were asked to do. At the end of this assignment, the manager had noticed what went on and immediately promoted the young man to a higher paying position. What a good life lesson he and hopefully the rest of the crew learned that day. Careful and persistent work effort will bring benefit, if nothing more than knowing you did your best at what you were assigned. I have no doubt that many in this congregation have had similar occurrences in their life where they did the right thing. They went to work when nobody was looking. They did what they were supposed to do, and they were diligent at it. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. All right, let's go to aspect number 3 about work. Being a successful manager, you need to be a wise manager. You know, when I taught industrial arts in high school, at the end of the hour, everybody had a cleanup assignment, and I kind of set it up like where somebody was the main manager, covered everything. Then I had people that took care of the hand tools, people that took care of cleaning up the dust and the dirt, sweeping up that, people putting up materials. Everybody had a job. What job do you think everybody wanted? They all wanted to be the manager. They couldn't wait to be the manager so they could tell everybody else what to do. Well, guess what? When they got to be the manager, they found out that sometimes they was like, I don't want to be the manager. Because when the bell rang and something was left out or not put up right, I made the manager stay over and take care of it himself. And they found out that being a manager is not for everybody. Okay? Be a wise manager. Be diligent in your planning and not over hasty. Proverbs 21:5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So you need to be, you need to plan and plan ahead. Nurture and utilize counsel from others. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You need to stay on top of your job, looking ahead. Proverbs 27:23-24, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. So you need to keep careful watch. You know, I could look at Mike, and I know that he has to do that to his herd of cattle. Things crop up, and next thing you know, maybe one of them gets a disease and passes it on to the others, and on it goes. There's lots of things that you have to look ahead for. Be a good leader. Don't be oppressive. Proverbs 28:15-16, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. And I would be willing to bet that just about everybody here, sometime in their life, may have had an oppressive manager. And it doesn't make life very pleasant. But if you want people to work for you, do just the opposite. Don't be oppressive. Be concerned for the rights of your employees. Colossians 4:1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Proverbs 29:27. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Provide good treatment to those under you, and you will gain loyalty and love. Proverbs 29:21. He who pampers his slave from childhood will in the end find him to be a son. So the people that you have under you, treat them right. Treat them like you would like to be treated. So, let's conclude this. First of all, there, like I said, there's much more that could be said about work and being an exemplary Christian to the world, but our time together today is spent, so I have to bring this to a close. In summary, if a faithful Christian keeps the need of work in proper perspective, and if they apply the wisdom found in the Scriptures towards this thing the average person will spend one-third of his life doing, which we call work, God's providence will be there for them through good times and bad. You will receive from God the necessities of life, and without a doubt, a great deal more physical and spiritual wealth than you deserve. And that's my lesson. If you want to embrace the life of a follower of Christ, why would you wait? Why wait when you don't know what lies ahead? None of us know what happens in the next minute or so, or the next day, or the next month, or the next year. We don't know. We encourage you to obey his call today while you still have the opportunity. As a tradition, we sing a closing song, and if you wish to become a Christian, you can come up during that song and sit here and let us know after the song what's on your heart. But if you want to, just want to talk to us after church, that's fine. That's okay also. And however you want to do it, don't put it off. Do it today while you have today with you, while we stand and sing.